Good morning. Well, there's one here. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start with hymn sing with Lori Pertell leading us this morning. I know she has one or two requests, but get your requests ready for her.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Our first requested song is a favorite of many, I'm sure. It's In the Garden, number 314. That's 314, In the Garden. We'll do verses 1 and 3. Our second one? 381. I heard 381. And we'll do the first and last verse. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 381. Time for a few more. Do I have a selection from somewhere? Yes, Chris. One more time. 526. Okay, 5:26, verses 1 and 3. What a friend we have in Jesus. 5:26. Time for one more if someone has a request. Yes, Gary. Okay, I heard 172 verses 1 and 3. 172, my Jesus, I love thee. 172 verses 1 and 3. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for Hymn Sing, and we will now continue with our worship. Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to Yucaipa Methodist Church, the House of Faith. We're glad to have you here this morning. How many did you have blustery winds this morning when you walked out? And some fog, so it blew you in here, right? Thank you, Colleen. That was a beautiful prelude. Our greetings this morning and announcements. We're glad you're here. There's red pew pads at the end of the pews. Please sign in so that we know that you have been here with us. Our November birthdays, I saw Austin here. I don't know that anybody else is here, but happy birthday, Austin. At least you're here, right? So we're especially thankful for those who celebrate our birthdays in November. Yesterday, we had our first Put It Together in the Matthews room. Several of us showed up with projects that needed to be done that we just can't seem to get around to getting them done during the normal times of the week. And so we showed up here and we did crafting and painting and crocheting and some just visited and ate. Anyway, we were here from 9:30 to 4. We decided yesterday to be dark in December because the third Saturday is too close to Christmas. So we will meet again the third Saturday of January. Do you like to read? There is a book club. It meets in the Camellia Room and on Zoom. It begins on November 21st. This month they are reading The Queen's Secret by Karen Harper. And then you can see what some of the other books are. And my understanding is there somebody here from the book club? As you read the whole book first, and then you show up to discuss it, right? You're not reading one chapter at a time, so you get to read it on your own time. So you might be more encouraged to read it if you didn't have deadlines every week, which is the way I read a book, all in one night and don't sleep. The sanctuary Christmas decorating will be held after the service on November 26th. All hands are welcome to help prepare for the sanctuary for the Advent season. So we hang lights and all of the greenery and place poinsettias. And it's always nice. We always have a great time. So if you feel like hanging out and helping us decorate the sanctuary, we would love to have you here. The admin council members, the annual church charge conference will be on November 30th at 7 p.m. Congregational members, if you wish to attend, please contact Lauren in the church office. She'll send you a Zoom link, and then you can join on Zoom. Hearts Grow, second and fourth Sundays. Children can come before the sermon and stay to the end of fellowship time. Parents are welcome. It's a fun Christian growth and worship experience for all ages, and it's held in the children's church room. Free Saturday movies, December 2nd. The Man Who Invented Christmas, the true story behind Charles Dickens' creation of A Christmas Carol. It'll be in the Faith Theater, number 2. These movies are great, and there's lunch. So you can buy hamburgers, hot dogs, pizza, chips, drinks. I think popcorn, too. So show up. If you say it's lunchtime and you're hungry, doesn't matter. We got lots of food. Are those all of the announcements? That seemed like an awful lot. No, there's more. African Children's Choir at the Redlands First United Methodist Church, Sunday, December 3rd at 7 p.m. If you have not seen or been to one of these performances, it is phenomenal the way these kids sing and perform. So if you have missed it in the past, put it on your calendar and be there for this great performance of these children. The December Pastor's Luncheon will take place on December 13th at noon at Legend 8 China in Kalamasa. Special holiday cost, so Pastor is giving us a discount, so it's only $10 instead of $15, and you will probably eat $20 worth of food. There's only one little catch, and that is you have to let us know you're coming so we can have enough food there for everybody. So you can sign in on the sign-up sheet, or you can call the church office. And you can call as late as the day of, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can call as late as the day of, so please join us. It's a great time. Any more announcements? That was a lot for this morning. Of course, we are getting into the holiday season, so there's a lot of announcements, aren't they? So our call to worship this morning. Please stand if you are able, and you will read or join me in the bolded areas. Come and worship the source of all blessings with good gifts. Come and worship the God of grace with thanksgiving.
For he has sustained thy life.
Please join us in our hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come.
The song of harvest home, all is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker thus provide, for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Praise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, food is praise to God we yield. Wheat and tares together sown, utter joy was sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant we all some grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take the harvest home. From the field shall in the day all offenses purge away. Giving angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast. But the fruitful is to store in the garner evermore.
We are now at our time for passing of the peace. I also want to welcome those who are on Zoom. I forgot to welcome you earlier, so
yes.
I'm glad you're all here. So please pass the peace among your friends in the congregation.
Got it.
I don't know how I can reduce that thing. The flame is a little too long. Recognize people who have come on Zoom. Deb, would you switch the screen so that we can see people on Zoom? Okay, excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Well, I want to recognize, let's see, Helen, happy Thanksgiving up there in Chico. So good to see you. And June and Joyce, happy Thanksgiving. And Bill is on Zoom. Bill, happy Thanksgiving. And Linda's there. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And Alicia as well. Happy Thanksgiving.
I just want to let you know that if you're trying a hearing assist, we're having some technical difficulty, so it's not you, so we're working on it. So, and I would like extra prayers for Rachel. She's been having a lot of fever spikes and seizures, and she's been in the emergency room more than she's been at home. So please pray for Rachel.
I have a joy. Last weekend, we went to Canyon Lake, which is between Lake Elsinore and Temecula, for my oldest grandson's wedding. Now that happened to be Veterans Day. He'll never forget his anniversary date. And they had the ceremony on a pier that went out into the lake, and that's where they had the chair set up, and we were all, it was a beautiful day. Just as the minister started the ceremony, here comes four World War II era propeller airplanes from Planes of Fame Museum in Chino, and they circled exactly right over the top of us. Turned on their burners or whatever, where they put the white smoke out, and they made three passes over there. It was very inspiring. And after the wedding was over, I says, who's the genius that arranged to have this show for your wedding? And also today is my son's 60th birthday. He is a member of the Corona United Methodist Church.
And just so you know, 11/11/1911 is the birthday of this church.
Very nice.
Hi. My nephew, Matt, lives in Ohio, and he was riding his very protective motorcycle just down the street, and a lady came out of nowhere with her car and hit him, and he has a fractured pelvis, as far as I know, so, but he's a good kid, so if you would just all pray for him.
What's his name?
Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay.
His name is Matthew.
I just wanted you guys to know that this last week, the church took your Christmas boxes for the kids down to Active Church here in Yucaipa, and they are the collection point for all of the Inland Empire for these Christmas boxes, shoe boxes that they send out to the kids. And they told me that last year they had sent out from just the Inland Empire was 3,700 shoeboxes.
Oh, wow.
For kids.
Wow.
It's a great outreach. I hope you guys had a good time putting them all together. I'm sure the kids are really going to have a good time getting them, and some of these children have never heard about Jesus. This is a good opportunity. From Yucaipa, these boxes are going to go down to a center where there's going to be a lot of volunteers, and they're going to go through every box to make sure there's nothing that shouldn't be in there, like things that will melt, liquids or military things, anything like that. If they're not completely full, they'll add some things, and they'll also add hard candies and a book about Jesus. So it's a great outreach. I did find out one thing, and that is that this goes on through the whole United States, which I did know, but in the year 2022, they collected 9.3 million Christmas shoeboxes for kids.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of shoeboxes. That's a lot of kids.
Wow.
To be, you know, and we certainly need to reach out to our young people. Lord knows that's true today. So it's a great opportunity for the church, and I hope you guys had a really good time. And I thank you, Deb, for putting all the information out so we know what we're doing. Anyway, I just wanted you guys to know.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for picking them up and delivering them. On a side note, too, if anybody lost an earring that has little flowers and then a pearl dangling at the bottom, I have it. It was in the parking lot, so come see me.
Deb, before you go further, we would like to meet Mary, who is who has come to us today.
Good morning. Mary Dean, I live in Cala Mesa. My husband passed away in September, and he didn't like to come to church, so I'm coming now.
Sorry about your loss, Mary, but we welcome you. Welcome. We now have three Marys at our church.
Good morning. I want to introduce my niece and nephew, my wife's niece and nephew from the Philippines. They're here visiting, Hazel and Mir, and we are sure enjoying their company and being with us. Just wanted to express how much we care that they're here with us. Thank you.
So do they come all the way from Philippines to celebrate your birthday, Austin?
Yes.
Wow, what a treat.
And you picked a good day to come because we have food.
Thank you. My cousin Monica is back in the hospital from that accident. She kind of took a bad turn, so she's in the hospital with pulmonary embolism and pneumonia. So she's struggling.
What's your name?
Monica.
Hi, I'm April Klein, and I have two joys this morning. Did you know prayer heals? It so does. Our son Scotty is back to work. He had fallen on the battery and broken four ribs, it turns out, and punctured his lung and was in the hospital. And he went back to work right afterwards, of course, because he's a man. And secondly, probably so much more important, really, the Manlows are back with us today. And Carolyn is healed, and Jim is very happy. And Carolyn can tell you exactly what she had if she wants to, but she gave me permission to tell you this. So Thank you for your prayers.
We are very happy to see you, April. And Jim and Carol, of course, yes.
Hi, I'm Lori Portell's mom, and I don't get to visit as often as I used to, but I enjoy here every time I come. It's a very special place for me. So thank you for being the church that you are.
Welcome, welcome.
We are glad to have you, and great work on raising such a beautiful woman.
Yes, I know. You did a very, very fine job.
Does anyone on Zoom have something to share? You can raise your hand and unmute. Okay.
As we enter in time to this time of prayer, we ask for you to be a little bit silent, open up your hearts, and clear your mind of all the lists of all the things you do or the smells that you can smell coming from the kitchen. But let's be in a time of prayer. Please join me. O Master, Lord Jesus Christ,
we thank you
for every condition, concerning every condition, and in every condition. For you have covered us, helped us, guarded us, accepted us unto you. You had compassion on us, supported us, and brought us to this day. Therefore, we ask and entreat your goodness. O gracious Lord, grant us to live in all peace with your fear all the days of our life. All envy, all temptation, all the work of Satan, the counsel of the wicked men, and the rising up of enemies, hidden and manifest, take them away from us. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the honor, now and forever. Amen.
And let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer in silence, especially remembering all the loved ones and the friends that God has placed in our life circle. Let us lift up our prayers for them as we know them very well. And also let us remember all those who are in need, not just in the town, in the state of California, but throughout the world, especially those who are suffering from the aftermath of the wars. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, as we celebrate our life in you, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and praise. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, your guidance, your unconditional love, your grace, your provision, your protection, your blessing, your healing, your power, your guiding hand, everything, O Lord, that you do in our life. For you are everything unto us, and without you, our life doesn't hold any meaning. So as we come before you, O Lord, we lift up our praises and thanksgiving unto your name, and acknowledge all the blessings that we have received from you, O Lord. Even though there are troubling things, we can overcome them all by faith and trust in your loving care. Trust that you work in ways in which we may not see, but you're working invisibly on our behalf, and you are guiding us into the safe haven. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And our prayer is that all those whom that you have placed in our life will also be filled with thanksgiving unto you and recognize who you are and what you have done for them. And this troubling world altogether may come to know you and confess you as its Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we open our hearts unto you, O Lord, with prayers and praises and thanksgiving unto you. And we ask your Holy Spirit to come in and touch us like no one can. Fill our hearts with joy of living, that we may continue on rejoicing every day. For you have been so good to us. Acknowledging your wonderful presence in our lives, acknowledging that you are our sovereign God, that you have the full control over our life journey, that you continue to use us to glorify your name, to build your kingdom through us. We now join our hearts in prayer, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now Deb Davidson will bring us Young at Heart Moments.
There was once a young man who desired to be great, but he did not know how to become great. So he went to the oldest man in the small village where he lived, for all trusted the old man and considered him wise. "What is it to be great?" the young man asked. "To be great is to be looked up to," said the old man. The young man considered his words. Then he went home and built himself a platform to stand on. He took his platform to the center of the village and stood on it. "Now everyone must look up to me." But not everyone did. That afternoon, a very tall man walked by. "I must build a taller platform," he said. He sawed off a bamboo pole and added longer legs to his platform. Now he could see the top of the villagers' heads. "Now I am greater than they," he said, looking down on the people. "They all must look up to me." "Not I. This will not do," said the young man. "What I need is a tower higher than anything ever built in this village." He went to work building his tower. He chopped down an entire forest of trees and dragged them to the top of a hill. He worked long and hard every day from sunrise to late into the night. He did not have time for family or friends or sunset walks along the banks of the river. Whenever someone approached him, he said, "Do not bother me. I am building a tower." Eventually, everyone stayed away. After many seasons, the young man finished his tower. It stretched high into the air, high above the village. It was taller than the pagoda of dragons, higher than even the emperor's palace in the land to the north. The young man was tired, but he was pleased with his tower. "Now everyone must look up to me," he said. "I am the greatest man in the land." There was room for only one at the top of his tower, and the young man soon found that he was lonely. But he told himself that it did not matter, for a great man must often walk alone. Besides, he reasoned, why would he want to associate with those so much lower than himself? One day, a bird flying by saw the young man on top of the tower. It flew down and lit on his knee. "What are you doing up here?" the bird asked. Normally, the young man would have sent away such a common bird, but today he was feeling especially lonely and welcomed its company. "I am a great man," he said. "Is that so?" said the bird. "A great man is an uncommon and good thing. I have always wanted to see a great man. Let me take a look at you." The bird flew around the man. Then it landed again on the young man's knee. "Excuse me for saying so, but I do not see anything about you that is so different from any other man. What makes you great?" the bird asked. The young man smiled smugly. He did not expect a bird to know such things as what makes a man great. "Let me explain," he said. "I am much higher than everyone else. All must look up to me." He pointed to the people in the village below. "See how small they are from here." "It would appear so," said the bird. "But then, perhaps from the ground, you appear small to them." For a moment, the man puzzled, and then he said, "No matter. I am above them all. While they crawl with the animals and work at their low fields, I sit high above them in the clouds." "You are high indeed," said the bird. "It is a long way to fall." "I will not fall," said the man. "My tower is strong, the likes of which never has been seen in this kingdom." "All towers fall," said the bird, "with time." The man ignored the bird's warning. He thought himself too great to heed a common bird. You may be as great as you say, said the bird, but I know of one who is greater. The man cast his eyes about. Where is this person? She is an old woman. She is far below. She could never climb such a tower, said the bird, but even we birds look up to her. An arrogant grin crossed the man's face. I have caught you in foolishness. If she is down below, how can she be looked up to? I cannot explain it, but it is true, said the bird. This angered the young man. Where will I find this woman? Where the river is at its widest, there is a large rock just right for sitting upon. At sunrise, you will find her there. With that, the bird flew away. The bird's words bothered the man. He decided that he must see this woman for himself. He woke very early the next morning. Before the sun rose above the eastern mountains, he climbed down from his tower. At sunrise, he found the woman where the bird had said she would be. To his surprise, she was a very small woman, old and withered. Her clothes were ragged and poor. Still, she was surrounded by flocks of birds, for she took from her own loaf of bread and fed them. I have heard that you are great, the man said to the old woman. The woman looked up but did not reply. She broke off another piece of her bread and threw it to the ground. You cannot be great, said the man. No one looks up to you, except these little birds. No matter, the old woman replied. The man puffed out his chest. What do you know of the great man on the tower? You know of him, of course. All know of him, said the woman. Whether he be great or not, I know not. He is nothing to me, but I pity him. Pity, cried the man. How can you pity a man whom all look up to? I pity him because I think he must be miserable. He spends his life where it is cold and friendless. It is my experience that those who build such towers do not enjoy the climb or the height, but only to be higher than another. Such people must always be lonely. The man replied tersely, It is a small price to pay for being great. How do you know that the man is great? She asked. Because all can see him, and that makes him great. Being seen and being great are not the same thing. I don't understand, said the man. To be great, said the woman, is not to be seen by, but to truly see others. The woman threw the last of her bread to the birds and then turned and faced the man. To be great is not to be higher than another, but to lift another higher. The man thought long and hard about this. You speak strange things. Perhaps, but I am too old to lie. The man turned and walked back to his tower. As he walked, he came to a group of children playing. From his tower, he could not hear the laughter of children, so he stopped to listen to it. Then he noticed a little boy sitting on the branch of a tree, apart from the others. The boy looked sad. Why are you not playing with the others? The man asked. I would rather sit above them in this tree, he replied. But why? Because it is better to be above them. He pointed to the man's tower. Someday I will build a tower like the one on the hill. Then I will be happy. No, said the man as he turned to leave. You will not be happy then. The man walked slowly back to his tower and looked at it for a long time. It stretched high up into the cold and lonely clouds. He thought about the old woman and the things she had said, and he thought about the little boy in the tree. Then he took an axe and began to chop at the legs of the tower. To his surprise, the tower fell easily with a mighty crash. The man sat down on a rock to think. A villager was walking by and stopped to look at the man in the large pile of tangled wood behind him. I am newly married and hope to build my wife a house. I could use some wood, he said. Help yourself to it, the man said. The new husband began to gather the wood. Do you need some help building? The man asked. I have gotten good at building. The husband smiled. Thank you. I could use some help. Word of the fallen tower spread through the village. There were many in need of wood, and the man shared freely of his tower with all who asked, turning no one away. Some used the wood to build fires to warm themselves and their families. Some made beautiful furniture and carvings. The man even helped a group build a school in the center of the village. The whole village was changed by his gift. As the man delivered up his last load of wood, he overheard one villager say to another, "Look how freely this man gives. You know what they say of him?" "What is that?" said the other. "It is said that here is a truly great man." The end.
Please join us in the hymn, "There is Within My Heart a Melody."
Discourse filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken string, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Through sometimes it leads through waters deep, trials filled to overflow. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
This morning, our scripture reading is longer than what is noted in the bulletin or in the slides. If you'd like to follow along, it is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 to 30. So I will be reading it if you want to follow along, otherwise it will not be on the screen. From the Gospel of Matthew. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds and power had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for Capernaum, will you be exalted in heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than it will be for you. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All the things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dina. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful sanctuary. And so good to see you, all those of you who have come to join us via Zoom. I pray that each of you will have a special time to experience God's visit with you and hear God's voices this morning. As you have noticed, I'm getting old, and my eyesight's are failing, and I made a mistake on reading number nine as zero, so I did not pay attention to it. So I gave the shorter version to Lauren in the office. That's why she only typed a couple of verses in there. It was my mistake because of my aging. I gave a pre-warning about the joke that I'm about to share. Nothing to do with Colleen and I. Okay? It's about the pastor and the music director's conflict. The pastor and the music director were not getting along at a Methodist church. As time went by, the spirit of discord began to spill over into the worship service. Once a day, the pastor preached on commitment and how we should all dedicate ourselves to God. The music director led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." The following Sunday, the pastor preached on tithing and how we all should gladly give to the work of the Lord. The director led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." The third week, the pastor preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. The music director led, "I love to tell the story." With all this going on, the pastor became so upset over the situation, and the following Sunday told the congregation that he was considering resigning. The music director led, "Oh, why not tonight?" As it came to pass, the pastor did resign. The following week, he informed the church that it was Jesus who led him there, and it was Jesus who was taking him away. The music leader led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Jesus is our greatest friend and is working constantly in our life. Does it mean everything is honky-dory and we do not have any trouble? The relationship between pastor and the music director is like the way our life runs. Compose two sides, the positive and also the negative. Let's be honest, and I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anyone in this sanctuary who does not have any problem whatsoever? If any of you doesn't have any trouble, raise your hand. Well, I'm glad that it's at least one in the sanctuary. Most of us acknowledge that we have troubles. Now, our challenge is, can we still thank God despite problems? Let us turn to God's word for an answer. Jesus had many problems of disappointment and sadness. The gospel lesson this morning belongs to such a moment. Let's look into why. Jesus' public ministry was concentrated heavily in and around the Sea of Galilee. Three towns, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, in the northern shore of the sea, receive extra attention from Jesus. Jesus naturally anticipated harvesting good results from his hard work in those towns. But Jesus said that he did not see what he expected. Chorazin is not mentioned in the gospel other than this particular occasion. Therefore, we do not know any details of Jesus' work there. But an archaeological finding and what Jesus said serve as a hint on why Jesus pronounced woe to the city. In the ruins of the synagogue in the ancient city of Chorazin was found the seat of Moses, where the religious leaders read the Torah. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." He recognized the Moses' seat there. "So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome load and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." So put these archaeological findings of Moses' seat and what Jesus said in Matthew 23. We can deduce from this hint that the people in Chorazin might have rejected Jesus' teaching. The Gospels record much of what Jesus did in other two towns, Bethsaida and Capernaum. Bethsaida was the town where Peter and Peter's brother Andrew and Philip were from. Jesus healed the blind man in that town and fed 5,000 only with five loaves of bread and two fish on the plain of the town. Capernaum was the city that received the most attention from Jesus, not only among those three towns, but among all the towns where Jesus had visited and administered. Jesus traveled through most towns, but had a residence in Capernaum from the beginning of his ministry. Matthew 4 records how Jesus began his public ministry. Jesus was tempted by Satan after fasting for 40 days. Following Jesus defeating Satan, Jesus heard that John the Baptist was put in prison. Then, that's the beginning part of Jesus' public ministry, Jesus left Nazareth and moved to Capernaum and lived there. Basically, Capernaum became the base camp for Jesus' ministry and his second hometown. Capernaum was also the home of Jesus' three disciples, James, John, and Matthew. We'll learn next Sunday that James and John were Jesus' cousins and their mother and father were Jesus' aunt and uncle. What does it mean? It means that Jesus' close relatives lived in that town, in Capernaum. And Jesus probably found the place to stay through his family connection there. Having lived in that town, Jesus regularly taught in the city synagogues and healed so many, including a man with an unclean demon, a paralyzed man who was lowered on a mat from the roof, a centurion's servant, and Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus himself even suggested how much he did in Capernaum. When Jesus visited Nazareth, Jesus said, "You will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." So, which means that Jesus did a lot in Capernaum. Despite all his teachings, healings, and miracles in those three towns, Jesus did not see the fruition of his ministry and was very upset about it. Verse 20 says, Jesus began to denounce the towns where most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would remain to this day." We clearly see why Jesus was so frustrated with those towns. Put yourself in Jesus' shoe. What would you do? What would your reaction be? We would react similarly to Jesus when we give our very best and sacrifice ourselves to fulfill our hopes and dreams, but do not see any progress and feel like all our efforts are wasted, we will surely become very upset. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time of harvest. We worked all year long and expect naturally to gather the fruits of our hard work. But our harvest appeared to be not as plentiful as it should be. Can we still be thankful for that condition? We may not be able to. But look at what Jesus did. On verse 25, he says, "At that time," what is that time? That time when Jesus was so frustrated with those towns. At that time. Jesus praised God. And he said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." What did Jesus do? Jesus did not focus on non-repenting cities where all his labor went down the drain, but shifted his focus on the good things God was doing. Jesus thanked God for revealing the gospel to little children at the very moment when he pronounced woe to the cities, at the very moment when he was so frustrated with those cities. Now, you may not have looked at this most memorized and cited word of Jesus from that perspective. "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? We are very familiar with that. That very word of Jesus was spoken in that particular setting when Jesus was so frustrated. Now relate that situation with the word of Jesus. We can learn from Jesus. As Jesus said, learn from me. What can we learn? He looked beyond the troubling reality and thanked God for what God was doing on the other side of his ministry. And that's the wisdom with which we can give thanksgiving in all circumstances. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. We often become weary and burdened because of the disappointing conditions today. If things do not improve after we pour our time and energy and feel burned out, we should learn from Jesus and look beyond the troubles. Well, I'm going to have another joke for you. If any of you who do not like the current pastor here in this church, don't be disappointed, because there will be a time that when you will sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The problem is, when there will be, according to Pat, it may be a 15 years later. Hang in there. You will be able to sing that, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Look beyond the troubles. Look far ahead, maybe. God is working on something that pleases him and also that is beneficial to us. So how can we shift our focus from problems today to the goodness of the Lord? Jesus said, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble." Humility helps us shift our focus. We may not be happy where we are today, but when we humble ourselves, we can accept the dissatisfying conditions and see God's good purpose hidden behind them. And this is how we find rest for our souls. In 1984, 1988, and 1992, American speed skater Dan Jensen suffered a series of disappointments in his attempt to win Olympic gold. How did he keep coming back time and time again? He says he learned to keep things in perspective. In the book called Full Circle, Jensen writes, "When I was 9 years old, I was competing at the Youth National Championship in Minnesota. I was in good position to win my first national title. When, coming around the turn, I tripped on a rubber hose they had set up as a lane marker. That slip cost me the title by 1 point. I started crying. I was crying as mom took up my skate, and during the award ceremonies, I was still crying when we got in the car and when we pulled into our driveway 6 hours later. My father hadn't spoken a word to me all the way home. But as we got out of the car, he said quietly, 'You know, Dan, there is more to life than skating around a circle.'" You know, we see troubles, right? We skate around that trouble all the time, and we cry over and over and over. But there's more to life than those troubles we see today. As bitter as any loss may be, when we know the Lord, there is always much more to life than any disappointment we are now facing. An interesting observation is that those three towns, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, that Jesus denounced, are mostly in ruins today. Those towns were bustling with fishing businesses, but Jesus saw them as spiritually ruined, causing their physical collapse that continues to this day. But Jesus did not stick to that displeasing condition. He looked beyond it and praised God. Are you weary and burdened today? Just look away and find the break from today's trouble. Today will pass, so will our troubles. And God's glorious plan to give us rest will be revealed tomorrow. Amen.
As we enter our time of thankfulness, as we give back to God, I'd also like to encourage all of you to join us to share a meal in Thanksgiving and share what you're thankful for in the fellowship hall following the worship service. At 11 o'clock, our Thanksgiving dinner will begin with turkey and salmon and the fixings, and we would love to see all of you there sharing your thankful hearts. Our offering this morning, that you have pledge cards in your bulletin. If you are prepared to pledge offering for next year, you can place it in the offering plate. You can take it home. You can determine and bring it back next week. If you do that, you can also provide your offerings in the offering plate, or you can send it to the office, or you can donate online. And now we'd like to invite Lori to share with us, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gift. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplift. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Together we would like to offer a prayer of consecration. It is on the screen. Please join me. Dear Lord Jesus, you gave yourself up for our salvation in Calvary and have sustained us faithfully. You called us to be your disciples in the world and have filled our lives beyond measure with goodness of your mercy. Empower us that we may proclaim the way, the truth, and the life as founded in your word. As faithful disciples, we recommit to serve your church with our presence, prayer, service, and gifts. Consecrate our pledges that they may be used to strengthen the ministries and missions of your church. May we be protectors, providers, and builders of the house of faith. In the name of Christ Jesus, the giver of every blessing. Amen. Please join us in singing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Of this glory your thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with
those of you who have not tried this, the finest, highest quality salmon from Alaska, gotta be there. Dina catch them with Dale and brought them down here. And many of the ladies are working in the kitchen, and Dale there preparing for a wonderful Thanksgiving meal. So let's all go and celebrate our Thanksgiving and the meals together. All right, let's pray. Lord, we humbly acknowledge that in spite of all the satisfaction and troubles and problems we may see, you are working in our lives. There's no question about that. So by faith, O Lord, as we trust in your presence in our life, we can confess once more, it is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the countless blessing we have received from you and your presence. May our hearts be filled with thanksgiving, regardless of the circumstance, that we may continue to give you thanks and celebrate our life in you. So therefore, Lord Jesus, send us all with your blessing, with the spirit of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love, show you believe. Reach out to others, for all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Mm-hmm.